This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You've been listening to Checkpoint Intimates. If you enjoyed this podcast, please rate and subscribe on iTunes and Stitcher.
Yes, you are here on Checkpoint Intimates, where two members of the Checkpoint team go one-on-one on a very specific topic. This is a very special episode of Intimates because I have the pleasure of getting intimate with two other people on this episode. I am joined by the wonderful Hayley.
Hey.
And the wonderful Charlie.
Hello.
And we're gathered here today because recently a very important game came out for our community and for the trans community specifically called Tell Me Why. It was a great game. We all, three of us, had the opportunity to play it before it released, all three episodes. But yeah, the third and final episode did come out last week. So now it's kind of, it's out there. People have had time to play it. So we thought now would be a good time to dive in and kind of do a bit of a spoiler cast on the story of Tell Me Why. From, you know, the perspective of two people from the trans community, Hayley, Charlie, you both being trans, and myself being a simple cis white man, just boring gay. So, you know, I wanted to, you know, get you both together so we could talk about this because obviously a super important game overall, and goes without saying for those listening, this will have full spoilers for the three episodes. It is a choice-based game, so what we experienced may be different from what you experienced, so if you don't want spoilers, you know, don't listen to this podcast. But if you've played all three episodes, obviously join us with this discussion with Charlie and Hayley. So look, let's kick it off. Let's kick off this Tell Me Why spoiler cast, and let's start off, I guess, you know, this is a story about twins, Allison and Tyler, who see each other after a very long time. There's an implication that Tyler has had to go into some sort of rehabilitation for something that happened when they were younger. At that point, we don't really know what that is, and we'll get talking about what happened later on in this podcast as well. But I guess, you know, they reconnect and they start going back to their childhood home, where, you know, we learn through their interactions that their mother, Marianne, had passed away when they were younger. And they don't have the greatest memories of Marianne. So she's essentially straight away painted as, well, not a great mother, let's just say. Is that reasonable to say?
Yeah, downright dastardly might be another way to say it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So they go back to the house and they start going through all the different things from their childhood, and we learn they can access some of their memories and kind of dive deeper into their past, you know, which is a nice sort of gameplay mechanic they incorporate. And I guess the first thing that I guess you wanted to talk about, you know, Hayley, you brought this up specifically, was, you know, this very negative on Marianne. Tyler in particular, as a trans man, is very negative on Marianne and his experience. Basically, he feels like she didn't accept him for who he was. And then going through Marianne's stuff in her bedroom, they come across a book, which I forget the name of it, but it's essentially an education book that Marianne had, you know, purchased or borrowed to try and learn more about what supporting a transgender child is like.
Yeah, I think the book is literally just called How to Support Your Transgender Child. Like, it's the game's just like, this is like really in your face about, like, Marianne was actually trying to do her best. And it was a nice kind of change of pace, because I guess in video games and greater pop culture, we're always so used to parents of trans characters being so outwardly negative and kind of scandalized. It's like, why would my baby do this kind of thing? And it's just like, well, it's nice to see, like, a character or a parent in the way that's trying to, even though it's like 2005, which is, you know, the dark ages essentially, trying to actually do the best by their child. And it's a nice little twist, I feel, with how the narrative kind of unfolds.
Yeah, I just wanted to jump in there and say, I agree, definitely. I think the important thing to say there is that also it doesn't kind of I guess, absolve Marianne, oh, their absolutely. Mother, in the moment, it kind of more just shows that it's more complex. There's more to the picture that we don't know yet, and we'll touch more on that later, but I really kind of like that it's not just like, it doesn't redeem Marianne yet. She's just this person trying to work everything out and try and work out.
Like, it's like Marianne's still kind of a shit person. She's just not a shit person in this specific way.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think, you know, tell me why overall it does make an effort to not adhere to all the trans tropes that we're kind of sick of seeing in video games as well. But yeah, I guess the next thing that happens pretty soon after that, though, is we meet another character called Sam, who comes to the house, and we learn that Sam basically used to be very close with Marianne, possibly in love with her, whatever, good friend, and he has an alcohol problem. So he arrives and he's been drinking already during the day. And it's the first time that he sees Tyler as a man, since, you know, last time he would have seen Tyler would have been when he was younger, before he left. And so Sam has some choice words around trying to understand what he's seeing in front of him. And I think I want to touch on this with you both, because for me playing it, I was like, oh no, this is, you know, what I was hoping wouldn't happen. You've got this kind of character being pretty transphobic and kind of offensive. And even though the character itself was drunk and not meaning anything ill by what he was saying, it was kind of that interaction of like, oh crap, this must be the kind of bullshit that you have to put up with if you haven't seen someone for a long time and you have transitioned, you know, the kind of, oh, you look different now. What's up with that? So, yeah, what was your take on that interaction?
Well, I mean, it's still certainly like it's not a great interaction, but I feel it's much more true to life than a lot of the other kind of interactions between like trans people and their distant relatives or past friends are, because normally it's always like a big kind of negative kind of thing. It's like, oh, well, you're just a freak kind of thing. Very, almost always very violent. And this time it's just like, It's Sam just being a bit ignorant and a bit stupid, and like, it's something we always have to deal with every day, but, you know, it's, well, not every day, but you know what I mean. But it's also feels a lot more true to life than, say, if Sam were to like, oh, that's not you, and then smacked Tyler in the face.
Yeah, I think it's definitely true to life. I think you can kind of put Sam in his place into the right degree. You have the option to there, like, you don't, when you went, that's the option I've chose at least. Like, he wasn't too aggressive when he mentioned it, but it was like enough. Tyler was enough pressing enough, like, enough affirming in himself that Sam was like, oh, wait, shit, I should probably not do this. And then I really liked that part of it as well, definitely.
Right. You got a sense that Sam wasn't being malicious with what he was saying. It was more absolutely just that misunderstanding and trying to make sense of it in his way, which someone in that generation, in that town, would probably try and do that.
For sure. Yeah.
And then I guess, you know, moving through the final part of the first episode, which is the part that I think is one of the most interesting things that happens in the entire game, the entire three episodes for me. You know, it's established early on through flashbacks. It looks like that there was an interaction with Marianne, the mother, and the twins when they were kids on this dock, and that Marianne is somehow killed in that moment. And it looks like it's Tyler defending himself. The way they edit it together, it kind of implies that Tyler had to kill Marianne because Marianne was angry at Tyler for being Tyler. And then at the end of the episode, the full scene is revealed. And it turns out that, firstly, there was nothing specific about Marianne trying to kill Tyler for being who he was. That wasn't part of it. But more importantly, when Tyler's on the dock with Marianne, it's actually Allison who comes up behind her and stabs her, killing her. So, turns out, the twist is straight away, it's not who we thought it was, it's not Tyler defending himself as a trans boy against his mother who's anti-trans, rather, it's the sister defending from their mentally ill mother in that moment, one that kills her, which then Tyler takes the blame for.
Yeah, exactly, and it's an interesting scene to see how it kind of plays out, because they hint at the fact that something isn't right with what we've been shown throughout the entire story. Like, there's mention of, like, oh, we promised that we'd keep this secret, and so on and so forth, and then you eventually learn what exactly the secret was, and it's like, oh, geez, this just kind of explains, like, Ellison's behavior throughout this entire chapter. how she's kind of been a bit, not so shifty, but a bit uneasy with digging up the past.
Yeah.
To a degree. Like, Tyler's really, really into it, and then Allison's just like, I'm not so sure we should be rummaging through this, and you realize she kind of has a personal stake.
Well, that's the thing. You kind of, like, during the whole episode, like, oh, Tyler's acting really kind of keen to revisit everything, like, almost as much, or if not more, than Allison in some regards, which you kind of think is weird, assuming Tyler at that moment was the one that did all this. But yeah, I really like the little hints, it kind of the breadcrumbs it gave you throughout with some of the memories, especially with like the confession and stuff, where it's both Tyler and Allison in the police office, and they're like discussing like Tyler has to be the one to take the blame and stuff. It's just really nice kind of breadcrumbs throughout leading to that reveal, which is really, really good. Really good spin on the trope.
But I also thought it was interesting because, you know, obviously we had the chance to interview Morgan Lockhart, lead writer of Tell Me Why. And she said, you know, it wasn't a necessary plan to turn the trope on its head. But I would argue that that's exactly what they did in that first episode. You know, they set it up, at least me as the player, I was thinking it was going down that path of, oh, this is why he killed Marianne, because she didn't accept him for who he was. Yep. So when it turned out that he wasn't the one that killed her at all, that was a genuine, oh my God, kind of moment for me, where I was like, oh, they haven't done that. They've gone down a different direction. And how did that feel? Again, you know, you both have expressed in the past that there's been tropes in these games before where it does go down that path that you expected. It's a bit of an eye roll moment. So how was that for you, experiencing that kind of, oh shit, that's not what happened at all?
Relieving.
Well, there you go.
Resonating.
Yeah. I think that's the most I can say, really. Yeah.
Yeah, it just felt like a huge weight was lifted on, because, like, Charlie, you probably feel the same. We're so used to seeing this kind of, like, the trans victim has to strike back and, you know,
Most of their story is their tragedy, stuff like that, yeah.
And yeah, it's their tragedy, and it's all about revenge and, like, being fighting to be seen as who they are, and it's just like, oh, thank fuck, I don't have to sit here and, like, watch this poor kid go through that. Like, this is a completely different story. This is fine. And it felt like a huge weight was just taken off for the rest of the story, essentially.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm glad they got that out of the way when they did.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. They could have left that as a later twist, you know, but yeah. I think it's good. It did put you at ease. Kind of go, oh, good, I can enjoy this now rather than kind of being worried of what was going to happen. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, look, let's, that's episode one. Let's wrap that one there. And look, let's go through episode two, which I will say, I hope you don't mind me saying, but the weakest of the three episodes by far for me.
Yeah,
I think it's definitely. The most, like, development and filler. Not filler. Well, yes, filler, but, like, it's the most set up and
it's to get you to episode three, right? It's to set up the rest of the game. And I think, you know, episode two, it does have some interesting character moments, which we'll dive into, but definitely less exciting and less with the twists and the big reveals. But look, either way, some big reveals did happen during episode two. More so figuring out, you know, how the police officer Eddie, who's kind of like the surrogate uncle of the twins in the game, who Allison still has quite a close relationship with, whilst Tyler does not have fond memories of Eddie whatsoever. And the flip side of that, you also have Tessa, who is someone who is established earlier in the game that she maybe wasn't very supportive of Marianne, maybe loaned her some money and was pretty aggressive about trying to collect that debt off Marianne. Yeah, it is a bit unclear because of the whole unreliable narrator thing that the entire game shows, but essentially episode two is built mostly around these two big character moments for Eddie and Tessa as you try and figure out whether you forgive them or not.
Yeah.
So there, start with Eddie. What was your take on Eddie and his involvement and his character overall?
Incredibly misguided. I feel like it's an interesting. I felt like it was an interesting take on the kind of bumbling country cop.
Yeah.
Kind of take. Like he's not out openly malicious like a lot of police officers, but he's. Or depictions of police officers, but he's, he made some bad choices in regards of how to handle this situation, in terms of, like, Tyler and everything, but...
Yeah. I think in that as well, they tried to make it a bit too empathetic for my liking. Like, they're doing with basically every character in the game. Like, oh, these are all human characters that make mistakes and stuff. It didn't sit quite as right when it's following a cop coming off stuff like Life is Strange 2 and stuff. But that's just me. Yeah.
It was a bit of a strange take. It's like, this feels almost borderline propaganda. if you'll excuse the turn of phrase. But it's like, I in the end, faced with all the things, I was just like, I get it. That, I got that Eddie made a mistake. And he still tried to, like, help Tyler and get him out of juvie and into the situation that he was in, which was, like, at some type of, like, rehabilitation center or something.
Yeah.
But it's still, it's like, whether everything you learn about Eddie later on and you kind of learn about Eddie in the moment, I just didn't feel right, like, forgiving him. Like,
no.
Even at one point, like, he asks you to, like, can we take this into a private room? It's like, nah. I was just like, nah, Tyler's gonna yell at this dude right where everyone can hear him. Which led to a couple of interesting moments in, like, chapter 3, which was fun, but...
Yeah, well, I guess let's move on to the other big interaction that happened that episode, which is Tessa, who, again, you know, there's some clear tension between Tessa and Marianne in the flashbacks. Depending on which side you take, you know, she's either a really horrible person or she's just kind of being relatively fair given the scenario that Marianne's putting her in. But yeah, you have the same moment in the cemetery where you can essentially forgive her or hold the grudge. So again, what was your take on the interaction with Tessa?
I really liked it. There's quite a few other scenes with Tessa in that as well. I like that. You can kind of see moments where even though the twins are very upset with Marianne and everything she's done to them in their lives, they still kind of idolize her in some ways. And like one of the big ways I see that is in one of the scenes I had where the twins kind of go off at Tessa for when she called social services on the kids. And it's like in my head, I'm kind of like, oh, you know, of course she did, blah, blah, blah. Like the stuff they went through was horrible. But it's kind of a complex and deep kind of scene there when you realize that, like, Tessa's this person on the side trying to do her best to support these kids. And then even these kids going through this hell, they're still idolizing their mother and stuff.
Yeah, it's a very interesting kind of tightrope walk because, like, I believe that some of the stuff that Tessa was saying about Marianne was completely true, that Marianne was just barely scraping by and she burnt all her bridges. And that winter she was, you know, the kids were going to starve and pretty much, like, out in a cabin in the woods. But at the same time, Tessa's also the same person who was dogging Marianne in some way, shape or form for supporting her trans child. Tessa is like a hardcore Christian and she supports what is essentially conversion therapy camp. And to the point where she's like suggesting to Marianne that you should take Tyler here. And it's just like, given all the things, like when we confront her about like calling the social services and stuff, part of me was just like, was it concern that the kids would starve or was it moral, quote unquote, outrage at the fact that she was supporting her trans child instead of sending her to some Christian death camp.
That's what I kind of like, though. Yeah. I like that there's questions, like that you never really get the full intention for everyone in this game. And I'm not saying that as a way to justify Tessa, like, she did some horrible stuff as well.
I guess we do want to move along to episode 3 because I think, you know, episode 2, it did also have a moment where, you know, Tyler and Michael interacted with each other. They started flirting in the back of the store. And then in episode 3, there's a nice moment where they have a bit of a follow-up and depending on your choices, they can make out. Oh, yeah.
Yes, they can.
So, yeah, I guess how did you guys feel about that relationship between Michael and Tyler? Did it seem like a bit of a natural kind of relationship or was it shoehorned in? I know, Haley, in your review, you mentioned it was a bit cookie cutter and a bit kind of not fantastic, I suppose you would say.
I think it's because I was incredibly weirded out because it's like I've only known as Tyler has only known Michael for what is essentially a day. Yep. But Tyler's acting like he knows Michael's acting like he's known Tyler all his life. And he mentions that, like, oh yeah, I've heard everything about you from your sister. And it's like, that's kind of creepy, dude. That you're hitting on me without, like, catching me off guard when I've only, like, I've just come out of what is essentially, like, prison, but hippie prison.
Yeah.
And I'm only just, like, I'm dealing with a bunch of stuff to do with my mother, and here you are kind of, like, hitting on me, and I don't know you too well, and this is kind of a bit off-putting. Like, what do I do here?
I think the largest thing that hurt that is how short this was compared to, say, like, a normal 5-episode Don't Nod game. It felt a little bit rushed.
Right.
It is cookie cutter, I agree. I don't think it was bad by any means. Just nothing huge. I did like the last kind of moment on the ice where they're fishing together. I thought that was very sweet.
Yeah, yeah. And, like, I like the fact that, like, they kind of acknowledged that it was moving too fast. We can take Tyler and be like, let's just take it slow kind of thing. It's like, that's really nice. And, like, even when you don't, like, kiss Michael, it's still a really nice, really kind of relaxed, chill moment of calm before the storm, essentially.
Sure. Yeah. And let's talk about that storm. So, at the start of the episode, Tyler and Allison have had a fight at the end of the previous episode, so they're kind of separated for the first time in the game. You play as them both individually without interacting with one another for a while. Allison, really struggling with her mental health at that point. She has a bit of a panic attack at the police station and uses an app to, like, calm her nerve. The most annoying minigame of the game, but we're not here to talk about that. so, look, Allison has this moment of this sort of struggle, and the whole thing is based around the fact that Allison and Tyler don't really know who their father is. This ongoing theme throughout the game is that they don't know who their father is. They know Marianne was their mother, and there was some instability there with her, but, they don't know who their father was, and there's also this lurking image from when they were kids of this, this monster in black, or this... I don't remember the exact name they used, but...
Mad Hunter,
thank you. Yeah, yeah, this Mad Hunter who's always there, and even they saw briefly when running away from Marianne on the night that she was killed, they even see the Mad Hunter watching from the woods for a brief moment. So, it is revealed that it is actually Tess's husband, who owns the general store and is running for mayor. Tom is revealed as their father. He comes to the house and they figure it out from the flashbacks and the memories. They call him to the house and they have this showdown with Tom about this big reveal. What'd you think of that?
It was certainly a moment where everything kind of came to a head. Like, it was an interesting capstone to the whole kind of situation, especially considering, like, the way the character of the Mad Hunter had been talked about through, like, the Book of Goblins and all the other little stories and like, tidbits throughout. It was interesting to see this kind of final confrontation with this dude who's just the slimiest... The slimiest guy I've ever seen. Like, holy crap. And it's an interesting way to kind of confront him, where he's just like, oh, I didn't do anything wrong. It's just like, dude, you could have helped your kids. You could have been there. And you chose not to because it would have looked bad on you in terms of your... Yeah.
It definitely gets worse and worse, where how he weaponizes kind of that he knows that Allison's kind of the one that really killed Marianne.
Mm.
And he weaponizes that in that scene as a front off to don't tell anyone, otherwise I'll tell people this kind of thing. And it creates this even more conflict that just... Oh, it's painful to see, yeah.
Yeah, he's such a... Like, it, I mean, my favorite part of that, I think, because in my playthrough, I had chosen for Allison to tell Eddie the truth about, like, what she'd done in the past. It's like, Allison, like, tells him, I was the one who really killed Mom. So Eddie already knows, and essentially, like, it's... So the important characters kind of already know this secret. So the threat just felt hollow, and it felt like a hollow threat coming from just a slimy individual.
It's interesting, because I didn't confess it to Eddie, so I didn't know whether he knew or anything, but that context kind of takes away that scene a lot, definitely, yeah.
Yeah, and the way Eddie kind of confronts her about it, like, after she tells him is interesting as well. It's like, you expect him to do the big kind of usual cop moment where he's like, you should go to jail or whatever. But he kind of just holds her and cuddles her and is like, it's going to be all right kind of thing. It's like, yeah, he's like, the past is the past, and at least, like, I know exactly what's going on.
Yeah, and I guess the last big part of Tell Me Why, you know, what Tom partly says is that he did see what happened that night. And not only was it Allison that killed Marianne, but also that he perceives that Marianne was not threatening Tyler at all. In the previous flashbacks that you're shown earlier in the game, Marianne is crazed and kind of pointing the gun at Tyler and very threatening. But
say,
then,
I'm gonna kill you.
Yeah, I'm gonna kill you. And then, you know, Tom presents this other side where he saw it, and he sees it as she was basically saying, I'm not gonna hurt you. And the gun wasn't really aimed at Tyler, it was kind of down to her side a little bit. And the interaction is quite different. But then, of course, Allison jumped into defense mode and kills her anyway, which obviously is a much sadder, I guess, scenario, in the sense that, you know, Marianne was never actually threatening anybody, and she died, basically. Now, at the end of the game, you're given this final choice, the big final choice, basically, and you have to decide whether you go with what you two, as the twins, Allison and Tyler, initially remembered, which is Marianne saying, I'm going to kill you, and threatening, or you go with Tom's recollection of events, where it's her saying, I'm not going to hurt you, and her being, you know, not crazy and that sort of thing as well. So yeah, it's this big final choice. So I guess let's start, Haley. What did you decide in that moment?
I decided to actually believe Tom's version of events, and it's not because Tom told me. It's because like every interaction I'd had up to that point, through Allison obviously showing that she's misremembering at times. She's having mental moments, like at the very, especially at the start of episode 3, where she's hearing characters say things they've never said before, and she's hearing like her mother say things that she's never said before, and so on and so forth. And obviously, we've seen her. We did see Allison threaten somebody. She threatened Tom on the docks in the same place where Allison's like, you know, where Allison stabbed her mother. So I went with that recollection because it's like, yeah, I think like maybe Allison, young Allison had a panic attack when she saw her mom threaten Tom. I think maybe the events where she saw her mom on the dock again with the gun and facing off against her brother, she just panics. And so her brain just creates this kind of defensive memory of like, oh, mom was threatening Tyler. And it feels kind of true to Marianne's character in a way, because of while Marianne was incompetent, she did love her kids, and we learned that like she kind of couldn't live without her kids, but she didn't want to hurt them. It felt like very much true to the way that they were portraying it, as of like it was going to be like her Marianne was going to kill her kids, and they were going to be taken into custody by the state or by like possibly Tom or someone. To kind of that, maybe Marianne thought that was the only way she could give her kids a better future.
What about you, Charlie? What did you choose?
Even totally agreeing with Haley, I actually went the opposite route, just because mainly out of curiosity, if I'm honest, because I really liked that was a really nice way to that last choice was a really nice way to tie together the unreliable narrator that you touched on earlier. There's enough shadow of a doubt, like I no doubt that you know. Marianne killed her kids and let me stop that again. Marianne loved her kids, but there's enough shadow of a doubt throughout it that, you know, there's so many like whose truth is this in this game and stuff. And I like the idea, even though it's not as much progress as the kids kind of should get, about them sticking to their truth. I think it's a very good way to tie together just all the different ways you could deal with things. You can never really know. That's the thing. Like,
yeah, it's one of those stories where it's like I can never really truly piece together exactly what happened. So it's what feels right to you in that moment.
Yeah, I think a lot of people will make different choices depending on stuff they've seen in their own lives, whether they face troubles in their own lives and feel differently about how their parents will figures are, stuff like that. I like the complexity in there.
And for me, like, just from my take as well, I actually chose that Marianne did say, I'm going to kill you and threaten Tyler, because I was thinking, like, future term for Allison, I was like, wow, she'd probably really not cope well if she thought that she killed Marianne, her mother, for no reason. Yeah. So I figured by saying that she killed Marianne because she threatened Tyler, that would make Allison sort of her life easier to live. She wouldn't have that on her conscience, and so I wanted her to have as happy ending as possible during this whole thing. And so that's why, that's why I chose it, because I was like, oh, I don't want to see her in an aftermath where she has to deal with this. I want her just to be able to accept, I did it for the right reasons. I protected Tyler. We're good, you know.
I mean, it wasn't a perfect scene, regardless. Like, Marianne, in reality, probably should have dropped the gun and ran to, like, there was enough there to cast a shadow of a doubt,
And I guess, look, let's wrap this up. You know, we've talked for half an hour about this great game, so, you know, at the end of the day, we all really enjoyed it, but I guess, do you have any final thoughts on Tell Me Why? Hayley, might start with you. You know, like, what was your take? Of course, head to the full review, checkpointgaming.net, for your full thoughts, but did this game do trans representation right, and why?
I think for the very fact that it shied away from the very problematic tropes that have dogged trans representation in the past, and the fact that it turned some of those on its head, I think it definitely did trans representation right. I think it's at the very least a shining representation, shining example of how trans representation should be handled in the future. 100%.
I'll just step in there. I agree totally. I've seen some complaints online that, like, parts of it are kind of, the treatment of trans people is kind of almost, like, wrapped in bubble wrap-like. Like, there's very, parts to, I guess, where they could have gone, like, more intense with the scenes, but I kind of reject that. I really like how they handled it, how carefully they did. It didn't feel too, like, cushiony in the way they were handling this trans representation. I really just liked it, yeah.
Awesome. Well, look, if you want to experience Tell Me Why for yourself, or play it again, it is available as part of Xbox Game Pass, and you can also go back through our podcast just, you know, two episodes ago, where we had a really great interview where Charlie and Haley spoke with Morgan Lockhart from Don't Nod Studios, and also Clay Carmouche from Xbox Game Studios, all about Tell Me Why and the big step forward in representation that it took. Haley, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you.
And Charlie, thank you so much.
Thanks, Luke.
And keep tuned to Checkpoint wherever you're subscribed, and we'll be back next week with more intimate goodness.
It's time to get intimate with Checkpoint Intimates.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.